right. Well, thank you, Adam, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. My name is Todd Anderson, Chief Content Officer at FinTech Nexus. Maybe Alec, we'll start with you, and then Will. So Alec with Sivo, Alec Randall with Sivo, and then we have Will Shao of CoVenture. Alec, maybe you'll start with a little bit about Sivo, a little bit about yourself, and what's your role at Sivo?
Sure, yeah. So Alec Randall. So Sivo is, you know, debt as a service. So what we do is provide programmatic debt capital for the newer fintechs that have a lending strategy. And I head up growth, so sales, marketing, and biz dev. And a little bit about my background. So I think this is startup number 5 or 6 for me. And then I did a couple of tours through bigger companies like Wells Fargo, Schwab, and Lending Club. And I've always had kind of a mix between product, marketing, and strategy in all each of those roles.
Will?
Yes, I'm Will Shao. I'm a vice president at CoVenture. We're an alternative asset manager. We manage funds across both private credit and venture capital. I sit primarily on the private credit side, where we manage about $2.5 billion. And our target sizes are kind of the $25 to $50 million to start with, and our borrowers go up to as large as $600 million. And so our typical strategy is to target novel asset classes, which are unpriced, not necessarily mispriced, unpriced, and scale them from kind of a mid-level to a really high, a large amount of capital outstanding.
So to piggyback off what you were just talking, Will, and kind of the companies that you ultimately are looking to serve, how does Sivo fit within that? And how does Sivo then help companies to step up essentially to CoVenture and what you guys do there? So maybe Alec, tell us how you work with companies of a certain size that eventually graduate up.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So again, what we're really focused on is any company with a lending strategy that has a credit product that's pre-launch, so $0 in loan book, up to say $20 million or so. So whatever the right number is to graduate to folks like Will and our other capital partners. We see all different types of credit products. The big five would probably be the cards, buy now, pay later, loans, invoice factoring, and MCA. But we've seen everything, and we're talking to a lot of innovative lenders. The big problem we're solving is they don't have a debt partner. And so, they actually have to raise equity and use balance sheet to build this, to build out their program. And we thought it just made more sense to how to actually try to serve this market, since there was such an unmet need there. So that's what we've really focused on. So the newer lenders, in general, some have lending experience, some have tech chops, and they just are really passionate about fintech or a specific customer. And so some really understand how to raise debt capital, and they get it right away, whereas others may not have raised debt capital. And so there's some education along the way around why to partner with Sivo, how do you build a loan tape, what's a credit policy, so that as we build this data tape and this data room, and we hand it off to somebody like Will, he doesn't have to go back and forth and educate people on what's a borrowing base, what are concentration limits, here's how you structure your data room so we actually can process it. So it's a lot of education, and it's also being that partner to help them basically launch and scale a lending program so that Will can take them from 20 million plus.
Yeah, and adding on top of that, I think the debt needs as an originator changes quite a bit when you're getting from the small scale to the mid-scale to large scale. So as Todd mentioned, when you're at a small scale, you're kind of figuring out the fintech component and the lending component at the same time. And so where Sivo kind of comes in and can help out is to help build a data tape, educate what a borrowing base is, and to help kind of ramp up the lending component a bit more so that you as an originator can just focus on the fintech, on the product itself. And then eventually, as the scale has gotten to a certain size, then when it comes to our type of capital, we're providing the access to a lot of other syndication partners. We're providing the access to leverage partners, to banks, that can then take you from kind of the mid-scale to really above and beyond.
How much more Will, how much more sophisticated are maybe some of the lenders that go through something that SIVO provides than maybe ones that don't or that you guys find? I mean, how much better is it to help them graduate up versus ones that maybe have come to you a different path or a different way and maybe don't have some of that? And how much time does that save in working with some of them? And
it's definitely a fairly significant improvement. When we see that the SPV has been structured where the pledge agreements have been done and the loan tape has been built and the covenants are calculated correctly, it saves us diligence probably in the range of 33% to 50%, because then we don't have to come in and say, hey, this is, let's rejigger this, let's make sure that these things are calculated correctly. So having a partner like SIVO who's able to do that and who can accelerate that process is definitely helpful.
On the fintech side, for you, Alec, how much time does it save them to go through a partner like SIVO versus spinning their wheels, trying to find debt capital, constantly getting those, constantly, all right, you guys aren't in our, where we fit within the market. I mean, how much on the opposite side of the spectrum, can a fintech save by working through a program with SIVO that eventually graduates them? I presume it's probably months, maybe even years that they're trying to work through that. Instead, they go with you guys and it's kind of more of a scaled up approach.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I've heard, some deals can take 6 months, some take 9. I'm sure there's exceptions that take 3 or maybe even quicker. I'm sure you've done a couple week deals where things are all in order. But it's pretty broad. And then if it's your first deal that you're doing, it's probably on the later side. So that's a lot of time that you're spending doing that deal. And let's say you don't have a capital markets team. That's time taken away from co-founders, CEO, CFO, maybe others on the team. So that process can take a long time to get the intros. You may get some intros from your investors and other people that you know in the market, but can take a little while before you can get the attention of people and actually start having those conversations. If I even go back, there's also a lot of time in making sure your data is structured. And so if your data is structured and then you have the performance, so you have something to present, so you look credible. So I think we add a sense of credibility in general because we're helping people build the tape, and then essentially it's built through our platform. And with our capital markets team, we have Amanda right there. You can raise your hand, Amanda, so if you want to talk to us, Amanda from our capital markets team. So that's how we do it.
How did you guys find each other? How did this type of partnership come together where it was, hey, here's a way for early stage lenders to get into a program that graduate up to us as co-venture? Kind of how did this all come about?
Yeah, personally, the way that we kind of got to meet was I knew Amanda from her previous venture and some others from the capital markets team. And then once we learned what SIVO was doing, we realized that, hey, this past week I saw probably 5 companies that were too small for us. And I realized that there was, I would try to keep in touch with them, but eventually it's difficult and sometimes we lose track. But if I were to refer them to someone like SIVO, and SIVO can kind of report back to us once they're a little bit larger and can structure the data and the lending side a bit more for us, then it's a great way for us to just keep track of those companies and to eventually get them to a place where we can fund them.
Yeah, and we were very lucky to get Amanda and then Lindsay. They were in part of the capital markets team at Clearco. So they were an originator that had to go find asset-backed facilities, manage them, get the tape ready. They understood the pain of having to do a lot of that manually and saw that by building and connecting to SIVO's platform through an API, that saves a lot of time. And then they also saw the value of having a capital markets team at SIVO with lots of relationships and being able to shop several deals to different capital providers rather than having an originator go shop and have a relationship with every capital markets team. So there's some cost save on the lending side, the originator side. I think there's some cost save and efficiencies on the capital side. And it's a lot has to do with the fact that we're able to partner early and work the way founders want to work, which is through tech and being tech enabled because it saves them time. And so we have this platform that now has built efficiencies that a lot of lenders can go through.
We've heard a lot the last couple of days about the current environment and how challenging the current environment is. You know, how much does a program like this help in a challenging macro environment versus maybe when times are good, it feels like money's everywhere and companies can probably find it if they need it. But where we are today, does this type of program and partnership set up early stage lenders for bigger success and that you might actually see some lenders graduate and continue versus maybe fold and fail?
Yeah, I think in this current environment, the biggest aspect I would point out is that with lack of access to equity capital, the debt becomes very important. And so finding the right partner is key to success. And I think, like I was saying before, finding the right partner at the different stages really changes. When you're at the beginning, you're looking for someone who can move fast, who is flexible, who understands the product and help you build it. And I think Sivo provides that sort of product. And as you graduate, you need a bit less of the flexibility. You probably need a bit more of the cost of capital. And so that's where the syndication and the leverage comes in.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I think our underwriting, as we underwrite lenders, there's always a continuous improvement process there, and absolutely been doing that. But over the last 12 months, 9 to 12 months, we've definitely been doubling down on how do we evaluate risk, what are the KPIs we need to be tracking, and continuing to improve on that front. The other thing that we're seeing is, especially with the events of like 60 days ago or even the recent events of a week or two ago, we're seeing a lot of folks that may have gone and gotten a facility with a big brand that they would want, and actually have that brand moment, come back to us because that it's no longer there. I think we've also seen some of the deals, get really a little bit tighter and a little bit more choosy. I think looking at kind of relative value in general versus, say, 2 years ago. And so some of that it means that you can't get the deal with the credit fund maybe that you thought you could get, or maybe they're just not willing to give you a deal because you're just not small enough and you may be growing now, but maybe they have concerns about your underwriting as you scale. And so those folks are coming to us, and we're able to see performance in real time without any lag, and we're going to allow them to continue to build performance and evaluate that risk before sending them off to folks like Will.
We do have one question from the audience. If you have other questions, obviously please enter them. They did specifically ask about funding for originators in LATAM.
Sure. We do. Actually, our first ever lending deal was in LATAM. It's a company called Produce Pay, lent to Mexican farmers who then transport their goods across border to the U.S. and you get the benefit of a special piece of legislation on the lending side called Perishable Agriculture Commodities Act. Anyways, I can talk about Mexican produce for a while, so let me know. But yes, we do provide funding for origins in LATAM, and just to talk about a little bit of the differences, we've looked into structuring them a little bit differently in LATAM. It's more done through a trust rather than through an SPV, and so a trust agreement is very important. There's also withholding taxes paid on interest from Mexico to the U.S., so structuring them in the right way with a SOFAM entity and with ways to kind of defer the taxes is very important. So short answer is yes, and we have special kind of qualities in order to do so.
Yeah, and we're focused in developed markets, but also in LATAM, specifically Mexico and Colombia. And we'd like to open up some additional markets. But we've seen, our DNA, one of our founders grew up in Mexico City, and then the other founder is a six-time, serial founder. So we have connections to LATAM. We probably have, 25% of our folks are in Mexico and LATAM. So there's definitely some DNA there. We have boots on the ground. Somebody on my team is in Mexico City. And we see that as an important market for us to grow.
Does a partnership like this drop the borders in a way? In that, does it work for companies cross-border in terms of this type of program where it kind of expands a lender's potential options? Does it help to eliminate maybe some of those natural barriers that might exist traditionally that it helps increase their access.
So our partnership specifically, I think it works because we both lend in a similar area. So such as LATAM, we both do it. And in fact, we've reviewed deals from Sivo that were from Latin America, and we think that their structures were things that we would have done. So yes, I do think that the partnership kind of helps expand that access.
And I would say, just with some other capital partners, I mean, the macro environment actually, with the macro environment today, if you haven't done deals in LATAM, I think people are interested in it. But if you don't have that expertise built out and you have a lot of priority in developed markets, it's just not gonna get the attention it needs right now. But I do think we're gonna do a lot more deals in LATAM as we find people that are already operating in the space and have done deals like Will. But I just see in this market, people are already see a lot of opportunity in markets they're operating in now, and they become a bigger priority.
So we have some other questions from our audience. What is the regulatory framework you operate in?
I guess we require, depends on the asset class. Some are more heavily regulated than the others. Typically, our originators have operating companies in the U.S., so we're under U.S. jurisdiction. There's also different usury laws per state, but I guess typically it would be the U.S. Regulatory.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's the U.S. as well. We did tend to have lending entities in the local country, but we have, almost everybody has a Delco in their structure. And then, you know, I'm not our chief compliance officer. I know there's a lot more that probably could be said. It's just not my background, but we have the right expertise on the team.
What are the fees and rates?
It's a very difficult question to answer. It will differ per company, per area, so I'm not going to give a very straightforward answer here.
Yeah.
And depends on size, seniority, and then a lot of other things. I will say that we target returning to our investors somewhere in the low teens, and so we're going to look to structure credit facilities that return kind of low to mid-teens.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's deal by deal, like you said. But if we think about, you know, how do we actually make money? It's a simple interest rate. So that's basically what we charge our originators, and we get a spread. So as far as fees, no fees. So we don't charge earnest money to set it up. No setup fees, no draw fees, no unused facility fees. What we really are providing is the optionality for founders to actually have the right amount of capital that aligns with their demand and their growth. We just try to simplify it as much as possible. We have standard agreements, so it's as easy as possible. When we know more about the program, when they're ready to graduate, they get into more complex deals.
Sorry, one more point on this. I do think if I want to expel one kind of learning I've had over the years, it's that if you're looking for a first lender, who would typically be someone like Sivo, the more important aspect is for someone to move fast and have flexibility, because your product is going to change. And any fintech product, you might have the answers, but once the dollars are in the ground, once there's collections come back, once there's defaults, it's going to change. And so if you go for a lender who is probably a little bit bigger, more mature, maybe lower cost, they'll be more inflexible, and so will hold up the business. And I think that is much more costly than a couple more points.
That type of advice is even more applicable to the younger the lender is, because there's a good chance that they haven't had that many learnings yet. Yeah. And so as they continue to scale up and they are able to have more flexibility with a Sivo type funding partner, they're able to figure those things out. So by the time they reach you, they're pretty honed in on here's our focus, here's what we want to do, and then you guys can, you know, obviously work with them in that at that stage.
Right, exactly. And the way that, you know, I've come to that realization is we've had partners who've gone with lower cost options that were the banks of the world, because we sometimes will see the same deals as them in the same size, then come back to us because then they realize that the lower cost options are not less flexible and are holding up the business.
Yeah, and I would say we offer an opportunity for people to, you know, basically they design their credit product, they're able to launch, and now they can really test it. And testing it, you know, could take 6 months. Maybe you hit it, you know, you come XCAP one, you know the credit model, you know the market, you just have a different acquisition strategy and brand. Maybe it just goes fine. But we definitely have seen, I've seen in my past, it can take 6 months, and it can be, you know, you can be tweaking the model before you want to turn on that growth engine where you really, you know, start, you know, destroying some of that performance. And we're along for that ride. As people change up their product, they may change the tenor. So maybe 12 months isn't the right amount. Maybe 3 isn't the right amount. Maybe they all of a sudden see it's 6 as far as months on buy now, pay later or something like that. Or maybe it becomes a card. So we'll stand up another facility right next to a term loan, and they may just see more traction with a card all of a sudden.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it. You know, Alec, thank you very much. Will, thank you very much. I see some other questions there. Yeah. So if you have specific ones, you know, find Alec and Will. I'm sure they'll be able to answer some of those specific ones. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.